Good evening, all brothers and sisters in Christ. By God's grace, we all gathered together to discuss His wonderful words of life and to study memorial meditation. So today we selected the reprint 2379. So that subheading is Hezekiah's great Passover. So it's given in 2 Chronicles, 30th chapter, verses 1 to 13. Okay. So I hope you all have the PDF for the book. So I hope you all can read. Aromi sister, okay, you can read the first paragraph, sister.
Thank you, brother. Our last lesson respecting Isaiah's vision and his commission to announce the fall of Israel was in the year that King Uzziah died. The wicked king Ahaz succeeded Uzziah in the throne of Judah and resigned wickedly in neglect of God and his law for 16 years. It would appear, however, that he had an excellent wife, Abijah, under those careful training their son, Hezekiah, was prepared for the kingdom and become in many respects a model ruler and a faithful servant of God. It is even supposed that the prophet Isaiah, who was related to the royal family, was Hezekiah's tutor and helped to guide him onto right ways of thinking and doing. The fact that so good a son could come of so evil a father is an evidence to us that under divine providence, it is not necessary that we should inherit all the evil traits of our ancestors, although we cannot overcome them completely, so that none of the fallen race of Adam and ever hope to regain perfection as a result of personal effort and of training. Nevertheless, we see that favorable condition, religious training, etc., lead to the vast improvement in those who are rightly exercised thereby.
Thank you, sister. Dear brothers and sisters, this is a subject about Ezekiel's Passover. Now, who is Ezekiel? If you read in the Bible, the complete chapter of 2 Chronicles 30 chapter, it completely gives the picture of Ezekiel. In the Bible, you see, when it speaks about King Ezekiel, it says that he was a very good king who did the will of the Lord exactly like what David did. You see, this complete you see, statement is not completely or all the times told to all the you see, prophets or all the kings. This is especially told to King Ezekiel that after David, you see, he was a man who completely fulfilled and did the Lord's will exactly as David did. So if you see, who is this King Ezekiah? If you see, it says that he was the son of wicked King Ahaz, not Ahab, but Ahaz. Now, who is this Ahaz? You see, after King Uzziah died, you see, in the in the kingdom of Judah, see, Ahaz came to, you see, throne. Ahaz became the king, and He had an excellent wife, and wife's name was Abijah. And their son was Ezekiah. You see, and mother being a good, you see, disciplined mother, God-fearing mother, she trained Ezekiah in a wonderful way to be a good model ruler. You see, and how did she train up? If you see, the Bible says that, you see, Isaiah was the prophet during those days. So, and so many other records. He says that Isaiah was actually a teacher for Ezekiel. You see, a prophet, a very wonderful prophet. Isaac, a very bold prophet. If he is a teacher to Ezekiel, of course, he would have taught completely in and out how to walk disciplined way in the path of God. All those things he would have trained. So, hence, if you see, you see, Ezekiah was a good king. You see, so it might feel a wonder how wicked father could beget such a wonderful son. You see, yes, there are possibility that this might things happen. You see, it all depends upon how we grow. Therefore, if you see, so many people are born good. You see, and their parents just throw off the kids or babies as soon as they're born on the roadside and just go. But tomorrow, you see, when they're nurtured, when they're grown up, somebody's adopted, you see, and they become a good citizens. Now, how do they become a good citizens when their parents are in such condition? They just throw off and don't even take care of the baby. So how do they grow? If you see, it all depends upon how we grow, how we are nurtured, and how we are trained. You see, how you are made to grow, how you are disciplined in your life. That's the same way. You see, he was well disciplined by Isaiah and his mother who guided them to walk in the path of God. So, in that way, Ezekiah was a good king. Now, you see, now is this possible that if we have inherited a lot of sin, a lot of evil things from our forefathers or fathers? Is it possible that we can come out of it? Yes, we can come out. And this is a wonderful proof of it. You see, not only that one, you see, we see the apostles also. You see, none of the apostles were great or very humble or very obedient when they were called to the truth. You see, they all had various weaknesses, you see, various infirmities. But once when they came to the truth, once when they're cleansed, you see, from Christ, blood of Christ, you see, what happened was that, brethren, you see, they changed. So how did God change them? If you see, it is God's guidance and God's words. The more they were obedient to God's words, the more they were changed in their life. So God's words has so much of effect. You see, read Psalms 19:10. Anybody? Psalms 19:10. Psalms 19:10. Anybody can read. Oh, nobody wants to read. Okay, Amar brother, read.
Psalm
19:10. 19 chapter, 7th verse.
okay, brother.
Read
Okay.
19:7, sister. Huh.
19. 19:7. The law of Lord is perfect on converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple.
You see, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You see, it is perfect to convert a soul. Can you read in Nepali? How does it come in Nepali?
परम प्रभुको व्यवस्था सिद्ध छ प्राणलाई परिवर्तन गर्ने परम प्रभुको साक्षी पक्का छ बोधालाई बुद्धिमान तुल्याउने।
बोधलाई बुद्धिमान, बोधलाई मिन्स वाट?
बुद्धिमान
बोधलाई मिन्स वाट नेपाली?
हु इज नॉट वाइज इनफ
हाँ, नॉट मेच्योर्ड इनफ, करेक्ट ना?
मैच्योर इनफ। यस
हाँ, सो नॉट क्लेवर इनफ, नॉट स्मार्ट इनफ, करेक्ट ना?
यस यस ब्रदर।
हाँ, सो सी, दिस इज व्हाट वी सी हियर. यू सी, दो ही वाज बोर्न ऑफ अ विकेड, यू सी, किंग, ही वाज नॉट वाइज इनफ, बट गॉड गाइडेड हिम. हाउ? थ्रू अ वाइज मदर, यू सी, एंड अ गुड टीचर. सी सिमिलरली सोलोमन, वी रीड इन द बाइबल, ठीक है? सोलोमन वॉज अ चाइल्ड ऑफ होम, डेविड एंड बेथशीबा. यू सी, डेविड एंड बेथशीबा, दे कमिटेड फॉर्निकेशन. हाउ कुड सच ए गुड सन बी बॉर्न फॉर, यू सी, डेविड एंड बेथशीबा? यू सी, दे कमिटेड सिन, बट वेन यू सी सोलोमन वॉज बॉर्न, हिज मदर स्ट्रिक्टली नर्चर्ड हिम इन द पाथ ऑफ गॉड. यू सी, हेंस सोलोमन was very obedient initially, but it is only after the death of David that later on when he built the temple, and later on that after building the temple, when his wisdom got spread all over the world, that you see he committed sin. And I'm sure by the probably at that time Bathsheba would not be alive. David already passed away. You see, so it all depends upon how we make our children to grow in the path of the Lord. So this is also a proof that in the kingdom, when all the people are resurrected back on this earth with all their weaknesses, they will definitely overcome all their weaknesses, and they can do it, and they can walk up in the walk highway of holiness. You see, even as we are overcoming, see, we are all not perfect, we are all sinners, we are all born sinners. You see, when we came to the truth, we had nothing good in ourselves. Apostle Paul, he says, no, there's nothing good in me. Whatever things I want to do, I'm not able to do. Whatever things I don't want to do, there are those things only I'm trying to do. So same way it is with ourselves also. But how are we changing? How are we making our calling election sure? By trying to be obedient to the word of God, by listening to the word of God, by being encouraged by the word of God, but daily growing in the word of God. So same way, dear brethren, here if you see, Ezekiel was a good king. He was not born as a good king, but he was well nurtured by, you see, a good mother. Hence, good mother or father is very, very necessary. You see, we read in the Bible now, Jesus. You see, Jesus was born through the womb of Mary. Why did God select Mary? You see, the Bible says that Mary is the blessed of all the women. Huh? Correct, no? So why Jesus was born through Mary? One minute. Matthew, Mark, Luke. See, Book of Luke. Luke 3, 15. Somebody please read Luke 3, 15.
And as the people were in expectations, and all men must in their hearts of John whether he were the Christ of not or not.
See, when Jesus was, you see, declared to the whole people that he was the Messiah during the time of baptism, the Bible says that all the people were in expectation. So what do you mean by that? All the people were in expectation? All the people had the desire, because they had a lot of prophecy and time prophecy and all, that Christ was supposed to be born at that time, and Christ was supposed to be manifested to the people at those times. So all the people were in expectation. Hence, you see, when Jesus was born, it was the great desire of women to be virgin. Why? Because they wanted to give birth to Christ. So many people maintain their celibacy among themselves. Hence, we read in Luke 2, Luke 2:34.
Luke 2, verse 34. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against.
Yes, 1 minute. 1 minute. Luke 1:28 with her.
Luke 1 verse 28. And the
Correct.
angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women.
Blessed art thou among women. That means, among women means there were many women who were waiting to give birth to Messiah. They just thought that just maintaining virginity or being a virgin, that is sufficient. But no, lot of women were there. But why did God particularly choose Mary? If you see, Brother Russell writes about this one. You see, in the fifth volume, and as well as in the reprint, he beautifully mentions why God particularly chose Mary. Because she had that humble spirit and she had that quietness spirit. You see, the soft nature, where she can help Jesus to grow. You see, Jesus was born out of a woman's womb. So naturally, Jesus from his birth won't have all the thoughts that way he was before he came to earth. He was with God in heaven. He was the one who created all the stars, planets, and all these things. Definitely, Jesus wouldn't have all these thoughts even as he was born as a child. So he would be like a natural man. You see? So these things has to be taught by a mother. And who has to be that mother? Though she is affectionate as a mother, she should always guide the child properly in only in God's thought and only in God's path. You see, hence we see that with Jesus, when he was at the age of 12 years, he was discussing in a temple. So by the time that came, Jesus was already matured enough to take some decisions, sir. You see? So where did he learn all these things, sir? Where did he learn to keep the law? Because the Bible says that Jesus was a perfect man, and if he had to redeem the whole Israel and the whole mankind, he had to keep the law. So who taught to keep the law? Even everything. You see, eighth day to be circumcised and every year to go to the temple and offer sacrifices. You see, and attend the Feast of the Tabernacles and attend the Passover and the Pentecost, all these things. Where did he learn? He had learned all these things from the mother. That means our mother, his mother would have almost tried to kept all the law. But of course, she would have failed. But she had taught properly the Jesus how to do it. So a good mother is very, very important. You see, so similarly, even in the 1,000 years, the whole people, when they come back in the resurrection, you see, they can definitely overcome all these things. You see, overcome all their, you see, infirmities, weaknesses, faults, all the sinful natures, they can definitely, you see, overcome it. Apostle Paul, he was such a great sinner. You see, he says, oh, I am the greatest of all the sinners. Why does Apostle Paul call himself the greatest of all sinners? Because the world is completely filled with sinners. But among them, he claims to be the greatest. Why? Because you see, none of them persecuted the Church of Christ. But Apostle Paul, being a very religious person, he persecuted, you see, the church, you see, and took letters and voluntarily went and murdered them. Hence, he says, I am greatest of all the sinners. But how did he change? He completely changed himself. You see, from being a sinner, a murderer, he became a life giver. You see, to be part of the lakh and 44,000. If he can do it, if others can do it, if we all can do it, it is a proof for the whole world that every sinner can definitely achieve the perfection. They can leave out all the sinful things and come back to perfection. So this will happen in the thousand years. And proof for it, this is one of the proof that Ezekiel was a good king, born through a wicked father, but nurtured well by a good mother and a holy prophet. Okay, next paragraph. Munna sister, can you read?
Okay, brother. And here we get a suggestive hint of the methods which the Lord will employ in the Lord's in the world's blessing and uplifting during the millennium. The human family is unable to lift itself out of the degraded condition in which it is because of shortness of life and because of the general prevalence of evil. Hence, the power that will lift mankind must be a power from the outside, uncontaminated by the fall. Moreover, under the terms of the divine sentence, the penalty of man's sin must be cancelled. His penalty must be paid for him before he can be fully released from its condemnation and weaknesses. It is this redemption or purchase which has already been accomplished for mankind, the deliverance out of sin and its consequences, mental, moral, and physical depravity, is a future work made possible by Christ's great sacrifice. And gracious thought, it is he who redeemed mankind and who has been highly exalted to power and great glory, who is shortly to use this power on man's behalf in uplifting to righteousness and perfection whosoever will accept his grace of all the families of the earth. The uplifting nevertheless will be alone lines of instruction, chastisement, and correction in righteousness in which the individual will be applied to cooperate in order to the attainment of full restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. Acts 3:19-21.
Thank you, sister. So, you see, these are the methods which God will use to lift mankind in the thousand years. You see, so beautiful methods, instructions will be given. They will come slowly, be lifted up. So even thousand years, the first thing is that the ransom will be applied to the whole mankind. We all know very well that Jesus has paid the ransom. The Bible says, and as in Adam all die, so in Christ all shall be made alive. How do all die in Adam? Do they die in the same day, the same moment? No. They all die in batches. Even in the resurrection, they will all come back to life, you see, and be resurrected in batches. You see, so as the batch comes, you see, the ancient brothers who have already been resurrected as a perfect human beings, they will be ready to receive this first batch who come in the resurrection and able to guide them, you see, to that perfection. See, there's one verse in the Bible, Amos. It says, one minute. Almost 9:13. Anybody can read almost 9:13?
Behold, the days come, said the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper.
Thank you, brother. That's sufficient. Plowman shall overtake the reaper. Read in Nepali. How does it come? Almost 9:13. Anybody who's got Nepali Bible, can if you can open and read, it's okay.
Almost, almost 9:13. Param Prabhu भन्नुहुन्छ, हेर दिनहरू आउँदैछन् जब हलो जोत्नेले कटनी गर्नेलाई भेट्नेछ।
Katani, Then
यस,
plowman, what does it call in Nepali?
हलो जोत्ने।
Halo jyotni, overtake a katani. Correct na? So what is this one?
यस,
See, reaper means one who cuts the crop. That means harvest work. Plowman means what? You see, after the harvest is over, so immediately they do the plowing. You see, why? For the next season, for the seeds to be sown. So here it is speaking about God's plan. A time will come. Harvest will be going on. But you can see that the plowman will start overtaking the harvest. That means what? You see, the harvest work as it is going on. The plowman means what? The plowman actually the plows the field, which is hard enough, makes the soil loose. So that, the next, you see, seed for the next season should be to be sown. So it may give fruit. That means this plowman is the great time of trouble. As the harvest is going on, see, harvest work will keep on going on slowly. But this great time of trouble will overtake, it seems. Overtake what? Overtake this, you see, harvest work is in. That's what we see today. You see, what do we see today? Harvest work is going on, but ultimately, parallelly, what is going on? Trouble is rising. Men's hearts are failing. They're getting discouraged. They're ending their life. They're frustrated. They don't want this one. They want changes. You see, because their desire is that they want peace. Ultimately, they want what they want. They want good. That's it. Okay? But are they able to do it? They're not able to do it. They're not able to get it. The frustration is there. You see, so these frustrated class of people will be the last batch to stay alive. You see, when the kingdom is visibly established on this earth. You see, so once when the visible kingdom is established, you see, many of these portions, many of these sorts of people will die in the last, you see, batch. And the resurrection will happen from back to first, not from first to last. Adam or Cain won't come first in the resurrection. The last person to die, he will be the first person to come back alive in the resurrection. Why? Because he would have suffered all the things, you see, terrible, you see, going, terrible pain in his heart would have already, you see, gone through. And his desire will be that he wants the kingdom. His desire will be for the peace. And once if he is resurrected, the eagerness for peace, you see, that will draw him to the truth. And the ancient worthies will already be resurrected and they will be ready to speak to these people and give them the truth, and these people will get attracted. So hence, the methods which God will apply in the kingdom, this is one of the methods. Through the ancient worthies, God will direct them, God will teach them. So one verse, Isaiah 126. Read Isaiah 126. Isaiah 126. You can read in Nepali also.
Isaiah 1:26, and I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselor as at the beginning. Afterward, thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city.
I will restore thy judges. You see? So who are the judges? The judges of Israel. They will be restored. They'll be brought back in resurrection as at first. You see, as they were guiding Israel, Samuel, Gideon, you see, Jephthah. They were all judges. They were all guiding Israel how to do in the time of war, what has to be done to be obedient to God. You see, so similarly, these will be restored. These will be judges. You see, and next it says, and thy counselors as at the beginning. How were the counselors, the teachers? You see, the prophets. You see, they were actually speaking on behalf of God for all people of Israel, guiding them from the scriptures. You see, what God had told them. So similarly, these people, the ancient verses, the people who will be instructors all over the world. You see, who will be rulers in all over the world and guide the people what has to be done. So in this way, what will happen? God will use all these methods to bring humanity back to perfection. Imagine, you see, today we are all studying in schools. You see, if just because our schools are not so good, not everybody can fare well. Only some brilliant students fare well for 1995, 96, the rank student. But what about the other people? Do you think they are all illiterate, they don't want to study? No, you see, but the teaching methodology or the environment is such that they can't excel. But then seems the environment is changed. You see, what will happen now? Definitely, you see, they will changes come within mankind and they will walk up in the highway of holiness. Therefore, he says, you see, along the lines of instruction, chastisement, correction in righteousness, these things all will be implemented in the 1,000 years. You all remember the basic class, what we took, why God permits evil. In that one you studied, there are four ways to instruct a man or teach a man or teach a creation of God about evil. You see, the exceeding sinfulness of evil. First is intuition, and we saw that this condition is applicable only to God. And second one we saw is that observation. You see, observation could not be applied to Adam because he did not have anybody else to observe and see. But this is working among the angels. They are seeing among man how sinful is the sin and what are the results. So they are experiencing it. And third one is advice. You see, advice. God had made advice. So this failed. You see, because you see that advice did not work. But the fourth one is experience. You see? Fourth one is experience. Mankind is gaining experience. But not all mankind are gaining experience. Small children, they just breathe for 1 second, 2 second, 1 day, 2 day, 3 day. They die without even understanding anything. They don't even know what father, mother, anything. You see, light, left, nothing. They don't difference. They die. How will this be trained? You see, Brother Russell explains this one in the first volume saying, in the kingdom, you see, these four things also will be implemented. Now you are implementing only experience. What about advice and observation? In Christ's kingdom, advice will be given. Who will give the advice? The ancient word is beautifully explanation, beautiful advice will be given. Their fathers will be there, their children's parents will be there. They will come and give them advice. So what will happen? They will definitely listen. Our grandfather or our forefathers, they would have been drunkard or they would be smoking. Do you think that all the grandchildren will smoke and drink? No. Why? The parents, some at the time, would have instructed, this is not good, you should not do it. So this advice would definitely come into use when in the kingdom. An observation, you see. So this thought is that in the kingdom, there will be virtual teaching for these new batches to come up. What is the virtual teaching? You see, virtual teaching means, you see, there's no need for you to practically involve in that, you see, experience or something. But instead of that one, virtually, you see, you can experience that one. Like, for example, see, in India, we have a bus training, you see, for bus, there's a government buses who run on the road. For the recruitment of the drivers, you see, they have this test. Now, how do they do the test? They can't give an inexperienced person a bus to drive on the city road. But instead of that one, they have a dummy bus inside the office, which gives a virtual experience of traffic. You see, virtual experience of the visual, everything will be like realistic. You see, but he has to drive it and see. Yeah, all realistic experience. Engine sound will be there, gear movement, the clutch, everything. As if it's a real experience. That's called virtual thing. You see, so I don't know about Nepal and all, but India, a lot of places, some theaters are there in global, you see, which give a realistic experience of a movie. You see, if some movie has been seen, it is as if somebody is shooting it from the flight. You will have that virtual experience as if you're flying in the flight itself, along with the sea, along with the sound. And you see, even the seats also will start moving like that system, sir. So this is called as virtual experience. So in the kingdom, the ancient worthies will give virtual experience of what actually it means to sin against God and what all things they might experience. So these things will definitely help mankind to come out of it. And there is no need that each and every mankind should go through experience. So in the 1,000 years, experience will be the last thing. But now you have gained it, this is good. But those who have not gained it, for them, advice and observation. The beautiful teachings of the ancient worthies will definitely be sufficient. This is one more verse. Read Mika 4:4, brother. Mika 4:4. Habakkuk, Mika, Nahum. Mika 4:4.
Mika 4:4. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. For the mouth
you
of the
see,
Lord,
okay, read.
For the mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken it.
It says, every man shall sit under his own fig tree and under his vine. Vine means what? Grapevine. Now, what is the meaning of grape? Grapevine in the Bible. Jesus said, no, I am the true. What? What Jesus
wow.
said? I am the true vine, you are the branches. So, vine and the branches always means, you see, the Christ and the church. So, here it signifies church. You see? So, every man who are resurrected in the 1,000 years, they shall, you see, sit under. This vine means what? They will be under the influence, under the, you see, under the care, under the guidance, under the instructions of the church. That is the meaning of the vine. That means what? Those who have experienced the same thing, you see, they will come in a particular, you see, under a particular apostles. Like, for example, those who have lived a life of oligarchism, rowdyism, always fighting, you see, killing others, murdering, you see. So, who will be able to understand their mind? Which of the church class will be able to understand, if you see, Apostle Paul? Because he was a murderer, you see. He boldly and cold-bloodedly did all these things. He supported who did all these things and all. But who can understand such a person's mind? See, we don't have experience. We will think that they are culprit. They are to be treated very harshly. But Apostle Paul can understand his mind. So if these people come under the instructions of and the guidance of Apostle Paul will guide them. What has to be done? What not has to be done? How you have to behave? How you have to overcome, how you have to live, all these things. So Apostle Paul knows them very well. And some people will be very fast. You see, they will do all the mistakes. They only realize, oh, I did this mistake. I should have never done it. For these people, who can understand these people? Who can understand this people's heart? In Christ's kingdom, Apostle Peter can understand. Why? Peter had such a character. He was very fast to react. You see, very fastly do all the mistakes, but later realize, you see, and tell, oh Lord, I did this one. So, who can understand such types of people? Only Peter class. They will be able to assist them and help them to overcome. So, they will come up in the resurrection. Hence, it says, every man who has got a particular character will dwell under its own vine means what? Under his own church, class, you see, under the own tribe of the church, who already had that same experience. Similarly, it says what every man shall dwell under his own fig. Fig means what again? Fig means what? Fig tree means what? What is the meaning of fig tree in the Bible? What is the meaning of fig tree? Huh?
Is a nation of Israel.
Nation of Israel. That means what? Ancient worthies who came out of the nation of Israel. Each and every ancient worthies has got some experience. You see? So, who can understand a widow? Huh? The Bible says there are four things which cannot be satisfied. And one of the things is the, sorry, not the widow. Barren woman. You see? Barren woman, who can understand the barren woman's feeling? The barren woman means was never given birth to a child. Who can understand her feeling? Some people seeing them will think she's cursed. You see, she could not give birth. You see, God has cursed all these things, unnecessary other things and all will come now. How she must have been hurt. Who can understand her feeling? You see, the one who has gone through the same experience, only those can understand her feeling. There are so many people in this world who has not become a mother, even after marriage. You see, in the Bible, we read there are so many ancient worthies who were barren. Sarah, you see, Rachel, Anna, you see, they were all barren, but Lord blessed them. You see, so they know what is the meaning of barrenness. They know what is the meaning of getting blessed from the Lord and giving birth to a child. In the 1,000 years, these will be counselors. You see, who will instruct each and every resurrected mankind with all sorts of problems will be there. You see, today, yesterday I saw in newspaper discussing with Gopal, new prime minister has come in Nepal, hope that he will do some good. Why? Majority, I think more than 75% of the world has gone for him. Why? Because they want somebody who can understand their mind. I read one sentence in the paper. It says, Gen X has voted for them expecting to understand Gen Z people. You see, that means Generation Z has voted for them. So they're expecting that they can understand the Generation Z's mind. If they don't do this thing, they will be thrown out. So similarly, in the 1,000 years, this government will be composed of all the ministers who has had this experience. Hence, if you see, in the church, there will be various types of people. Not everybody will have the same experience. Some people will be rich. Some people will be poor. Some people will be poorest of the poorest. Bible says, no? The prophets, some of the prophets were poor. They were very poor. You see, so similarly in the church also, there will be very poor class also will be selected for the lack and for the why? Because how will they understand the poor people's mentality? A rich person, how can understand? You see, a poor people's mentality, no. So, these are the methods which God will use in the 1,000 years to develop. Beautiful point. Okay, next paragraph. Amar brother, can you read?
Okay, that Hezekiah was already well instructed and thoroughly consecrated to the Lord, and the time of his father's death and his own entrance to kingship is evidenced by the fact that he immediately began in the first month of his reign to in guarantee reforms of the characters noted in our lessons. The restorations of the worship of Jehovah as a divinely appointed. Had he not been consecrated to the Lord, and those in the proper attitude of her heart, his ascension to power would have had an influence on the very opposite of this. It would have led to self gratifications and personal vanity.
Thank you for that. So here you see that as his father died, immediately Ezekiah was, you see, put on the throne to rule as a king. He says, in the first month itself, he restored the worship of Jehovah. Imagine the condition of Israel at that time. You see, Ahab and all was, you see, already reigned there. You see, what would be in the worst condition of Israel? Not at all worshipping Jehovah. You see, when he is restored the worship of Jehovah, it means that they did not even care about the tabernacle, did not even care about the Ark of the Covenant. Such a hopeless condition. You see, the whole nation of Israel were completely diverted from God. And to bring them all back to God is not so easy thing. If a king is put into authority, within 1 month, if his bring is the changes, that means he was very bold enough. He was very courageous enough. And it says that his mind was already consecrated. Consecrated means what? His mind was already completely devoted to God. And he has fixed in his mind that once his father dies, these things will definitely come into practice. So it required a lot of courage, you see, honestness, you see, to do these things. Because once if somebody comes to power, if they have all their power in their hand, immediately what will happen is that first thing is that the mind won't be in control. You see, what will happen immediately? They will try to do what all things they want in their heart, whatever comes in their mind, because they will be uncontrollable. You see, because they don't have experience. Their mind is not stable. So they will decide things which are very harmful, which might become very harmful. So it is not good enough to immediately put somebody into throne. But here, if he was immediately put into throne, you see, God had blessed him in such a way that he was nurtured and grown up in a very wonderful way, that as soon as he came, the first thing he did was that restore the worship of Jehovah. You see, he did not behave in other way. You see, this pride comes very easily into somebody. You see, when nobody cares us, we feel very hurt. But if everybody starts looking up to us, if everybody starts concentrating on us, if everybody, you see, what do you say, gives a lot of honor to us, lifts us high, what will happen that immediately this thing will go to our head and we will start, you see, misbehaving. Hence, we read in Timothy, First Timothy third chapter, verse 2 and verse 6, verses 2 to 6, First Timothy third chapter 2 to 6.
Okay, brother. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach.
Hey, it says a bishop. Bishop means what? Not today we have in the churches bishop. This is alternate word is pastor or you see minister. Jesus came to minister, not to be minister. Jesus came to minister, not to be minister. It says no. So it's the same word. Actually, it means the servant of the Lord. You see, the servant of the church. Now, how a servant should be, you see, he should be actually elder. You see, elder means what? Elder means husband. Oh, he's very big, oh, great. No. Okay, of course, he has got the maturity, but elder is somebody who is a servant. And what should be the attitude of servant? It says he should be blameless. You see, and husband of one wife. You see, not keeping your eyes rotating upon every woman who meet. You see, vigilant, alert. You see, vigilant means what? You can't You see, allow anything to come inside the church. There will be a lot of wolf who can come inside. You see, in sheep clothing. These are all actually the character traits which God had given to the king of Israel. Read in the book of Samuel. Here, the people of Israel will come and ask God, please give us kings. God will tell, no, don't want. Kings should not be there. And will tell a lot of things and all. Same things has been repeated even in the law, in the Deuteronomy also. What actually king should do, what actually king should not do. The same way here also, you see, one of the characters that he should be good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, good behavior. Given to hospitality means what? Soft natured, apt to teach, able to teach it properly, teach the word of God so that the things may reach somebody's mind. Then, verse 3, continue, Mutara.
Not given to wine,
Not given
no
to
strike.
wine. Not given to wine means what? Nowadays, no, nobody drinks. Okay? But during those days, wine was actually taken as a medicine. That's the reason it says not given to much wine. So people take it as granted. No, bishop can drink. See, wine is there. Okay? So those days, wine, these days, wines are totally different. In Nepal, wine is the worst condition. Everywhere you have wine. Okay, next condition. No, continue.
No striker.
Now striker means what? He keeps on brawling, fighting, punching, literally fighting. Striker holding the clock, collar, holding the cloths, literally physically fight. Next.
Not greedy, a filthy lucre.
Not greedy of filthy lucre means what? Not greedy of money. Every time money, 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 money. Wherever you see money. You see, everything you do, only your mind is that having a mind. Money, 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 money-mindedness. This should not be among a elder or a brother who is leading the ecclesia. Why? Kings also should not have the same mind. You see, always money-minded. Because what the Bible say? Love of money is the root of all evil. Once when the money comes into picture, there all the problems will start. You see, hence Jesus as a treasurer, but never took account or kept sufficient of money balance, bank balance in his treasury. Remember, when they were asked to pay tax, what did Jesus say? Did he tell, go and ask Judas to pay the tax and take the receipt? No. It all go and it's a fish, fish. He'll have a coin in his mouth. That means what? Jesus did not have sufficient of money. When you're supposed to feed 4,000 and 5,000 people. You see, Jesus did not tell, okay, take some money from Judas and go and buy from the market. You see, he said, to feed all these people, money is not sufficient. That's what the apostle said. To feed all these people, what we have is not sufficient. That means he did not have so much of sufficient of fund. You see, he was living hand to mouth. You see, so greediness should not be there. Next, continue.
But patient, not
But
a brawler,
patient,
not
you see, but patient, coolly, calmly handling some things. Not a brawler means what? Keep on arguing, keep on fighting. You see, unnecessary. You see, then next, always try to give it off for somebody else. You see, next,
covetous.
not covetous. You see, covetous means what? Always trying to seek some gain or the other. You see, not only money gains, but other, you see, other gains, some benefit. Covetousness. Then continue.
One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?
So, first of all, he should be good example in his house. If he's not able to take care of his family, first of all, let him be husband, wife, mother, brothers, sisters, and all. How can he take care of the church of God? How can he control them? Control them in the sense of how can he make them to develop into Christ-likeness? If you don't try to implement this one practically in your house, you see, if you're trying to develop somebody into Christ-likeness, first show it in your house. Bring somebody to the truth. Maturity should shown be there. You see, next continue.
Not a novice,
Not a
less.
novice. Not a novice means what? Not a new person. Not a person who just come to the truth. A new person.
Lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil.
Why a new person should never be given such a high responsibility? It says, lest he being lifted up in pride. Pride will definitely come easily. This is the very dangerous point among the youngsters. You see, without experience, the cold-bloodedness, if they are put into very great position, the possibility is that they may develop pride. You see, and fall into the condemnation of the devil means what? Devil fell into the condemnation. Why? Because of pride, ego. He always wanted to be great. He wanted himself to be in the picture. You see, but Jesus was not clear. He wanted everybody to be one. That's what he prayed, no? Father, even as I and you are one, let them all be one. This oneness, you see, this Ezekiel had in him. He did not develop pride and took decisions which are violating God's commandment. Remember Solomon's son? What happened after Solomon's death? Israel was divided into two parts. Why? You know why? Who was the son of Solomon? Who, because of whom Israel was divided? Rehoboam and Jeroboam. Remember? Two bombs, atom bombs, spoiled the complete, you see, Israel divided into two parts. After death of Solomon, you see, Solomon had implemented taxes to build a temple. You see, everybody were paying heavy taxes. They come to Solomon's son and ask, sir, your father put some taxes. Please, I request you, please lower the taxes. At least let us live peacefully and our temple is built. He takes the counsel of his youngsters, young friends, instead of taking the counsel of the elders of our fathers, you see, ministers and all. You see, they tell, the ministers tell, okay, please reduce the taxes. But these youngsters will tell them, will if they don't pay taxes, we will, you see, whip them. We will chastise them. You see, we will kill them. You see, hence, you see, Israel was divided. You see, when once he communicated this one to the elders of Israel, Israel becomes two parts. Why? Pride. You see, though it was to be divided, he was okay with it, but he wanted his things to be done. You see, so same way, this attitude was not in Hezekiah. He united all the people, you see, to worship Jehovah. He restored that oneness. You see, he did not give his heart for self-gratification or personal vanity. Okay? So this is a very, very important point. Okay, next paragraph. Next paragraph. Gopal brother, can you read?
Brother, his first public work was to open and prepare the temple of the Lord, which had been closed and out of repair for years, and in which had been permitted to accumulate a vast amount of rubbish, etc. The king called to his aid the proper assistants for this work, the divinely appointed tribe of Levi. The cleansing of the temple proceeded according to the law of Moses, and when completed, the first thing in order was a great sin offering. King Hezekiah was broad-minded and gave special instructions that the offering was to be not only on behalf of the people of Judah, the two tribes, but on behalf also of their separated brethren for all Israel.
Thank you, brother. So, see, what's the first work he did was that he opened the temple. You see, he says the temple was shut down for many years, it seems. Imagine the great temple which was built by Solomon, the world's costliest temple, you can say. Decorated completely and completely put off with gold, you see, and the precious stones, diamonds from all over the places. Siddhar, all these things and all, such a huge, beautiful temple, leaving all this and going and worship Baal, it seems. First thing was that he opened the doors of the temple. You see, which has been closed and out for many years. He repaired it. You see, now he says it is completely accumulated with rubbish, it seems. You see, it's shut down for many years. Means what will happen? The condition. So many things, rubbish and all would have come. So many pigeons would have come and sat inside, made the nest and all. All these things he cleaned. And how did he do it? You see, he did it as per the law. He took, you see, the help of divinely appointed Levites. Who are the Levites? These were the one who were permitted to work in the temple. So he did not use any common Israel people. No, he did not want to violate God's commands. You see, as David did. Once he did, no. You see, he did not know how to bring back the covenant to Israel. So he put it up in a bullock cart. Uzzah tested it immediately on the spot. He died. But once he realized David that this is wrong, what did he do? Next time, he brought to the priest. So here, he did not commit the same mistake. He took the help of Levites. He cleansed the temple, you see, according to the law of Moses. You see? So once when this cleansing was done, the first thing what he offered was that a great sin offering. For all the things, you see, he offered a great sacrifice to God so that he may have reconciliation, atonement with God. You see? So here it says, King Ezekiah was broad-minded. You see? So he not only offered sacrifices to the tribe of Judah, but also to the tribe of Israel. See, such a wonderful thing now. You see, here, after the death of Solomon, Rehoboam, his son, you see, took the throne. And Jeroboam, you see, he was his minister. He took the 10 tribes and they became the tribe of Israel. And there, he had put two golden calves so the tribe of Israel would never return to Israel to worship one true God in the temple. You see, it says here, King Ezekiel offered sacrifices not only for himself, it seems. He was not, you see, concentrating or minded only about his own tribe, but also about the tribe of Israel who had already left them many years and got into idol worship. He was also concerned about them. He also wanted them to be united, to be one. You see, so, dear brethren, this is all a good lesson for us. You see how goodness, you see, was in Ezekiel. Okay, so we'll stop here. We'll continue next week. Okay, 1 minute.